Well, hello. You are listening to Good Girl to Goddess. This is a show where you're going to see your patterns, own your power, and claim your potential. We're living in epic times for women, but it's up to us to create our own evolution revolution from the inside out. I'm Joy Balma, and I'm going to be your host on this adventure and your Good Girl to Goddess Sherpa. I'm a coach and author of women's empowerment books and personality typing. So are you ready to go from good girl to goddess? Let's do this.
So excited because, you know, I love to invite on guests to the show to share their good girl to goddess story. And, you know, we want to know the dragons that they have had to slay to find their sovereignty. We want to know the journey that they have taken so we can learn from them. And today I have a guest. Her name is Courtney Cope, and she is going to share her good girl to goddess story. And let me tell you, you are going to be on the edge of your seat, because we are talking all about boundaries, baby. So important. Women need to have boundaries. But you know what? Let's be honest. We often don't have a clue how to have boundaries. But let me give you tell you a little bit more about Courtney before we start this exciting topic. You know, Courtney is like a multi-passionpreneur who sees herself as a human connection expert. She says she's on a mission to help people connect with their own truth more confidently and to create meaningful connections with their own self, their friends, their families, their finances, and their creative work in the world. She's a licensed marriage family therapist, a life and business coach, and earned multiple six figures during her lifetime of her career in network marketing. Interesting. She's from Los Angeles, but sees herself as a child of the world, usually keeping her bags unpacked for a month or so at a time, and typically off to see and experience the next place on the map that's calling her name. Welcome, Courtney.
Oh, thank you so much, Joy. As when you're hearing your bio be read, you can't help but giggle. You're like, yep, that's me.
I love it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Well, I know that you're like, do you call yourself a boundaries queen or something like that, or boundary badass, or I don't know. Yes.
I do. So, I own that. Absolutely.
I love it. I love it. And I know you've been talking a lot about it lately, and I wanted to have you on the show because I wonder because boundaries is like kind of the antithesis of being a good girl, you know, because the good girl is like wants to be nice and generous and selfless. And so we don't usually want to have boundaries. So tell me where did this come from? Tell me your good girl, the goddess story. How did you find your sovereignty around, you know, the ownership of boundaries?
I have goosebumps as you ask me that question. So everyone's on the same page. My background is I was raised in an extremely, extremely religious environment. And I'll tell people that and they'll be like, oh, yeah, me too. And I'll say like, no, like this is the next level. Like if you thought that you were a really religious Christian, I was like a level of Christian where we hated all other Christians. Like it was wow. Not a friendly thing. It was a very limited worldview, have to believe these certain things, don't talk to outsiders, everyone's out to get you. I mean, it was an extremely controlling, divisive environment that I grew up in from a very, very small age. My mom was raised that way, so I was around that. I was homeschooled, all of this stuff. And my love of boundaries came from growing up in this environment where, looking back as an adult, I can very easily say, like, oh, I was around very harmful individuals. I was around very dangerous adults. I was around very hateful beliefs. I was around things that were not good, and in no way, shape, or form were they helping to contribute to the livelihood or health of anybody in that community, nor were they really doing any good in that world, right? And so as a necessity for survival, I had to develop boundaries. When you're in a situation like that, you either become brainwashed or you perish, or you develop boundaries and a very strong sense of self and you rise above it and you go beyond it and you advocate for that kernel of insight and inner truth and inner wisdom that's saying, like, something seems really effed up in this situation. Something doesn't sit right with me here. Something is wrong with this, even though all the evidence around me is pointing to I'm the one with the problem and I'm the bad person. And in fact, they would tell me, like, if you leave this church, if you leave this community, you're a backslider, you're going to burn in hell forever, we're never going to talk to you, you're lost forever. I mean, they would use I don't really know if there's a bigger threat than if you walk away, you will spend all eternity for the rest of your afterlife burning in hell. I mean, that's a really intense threat for a little kid to hear. And so
absolutely.
I had to, yeah, again, as an adult, I look back and I have to laugh because it's like ludicrous. Like, what? Who would say that to a child? But they did. And some people I know are still in those situations today. So in that dynamic, I had to really, really connect with myself and really, really get honest with myself around, do I think this is true? And even though I feel crazy and I feel like there's something wrong with me because I'm supposed to be making everybody around me like me and think I'm this obedient child of God and that, you know, like you call it the good girl, like, I knew that their version of good actually felt very bad. And I didn't have the language or the skills at the time as a little, little girl to be able to articulate this to them. But as I grew up, I began to notice, especially in my teenage years and into my early, early 20s, like realizing, oh, like, this isn't okay. And the way out, my way out of this was by creating boundaries and by going to college and going to school and learning about, I went to school to be a marriage and family therapist and just like point blank learning that any type of worldview or belief that's based on fear, a lot of people who have these have beliefs that are based on fear or manipulation or control, they end up with a lot of like mental illnesses like depression, anxiety, personality disorders. And I realized that, oh, I don't want to have any beliefs that are based off of fear. That doesn't serve me. And that led me to reading books on boundaries and having great therapists and, of course, just discovering the magic sauce that is implementing boundaries. Let me just give a definition of how I conceptualize boundaries so that all the listeners can know what it means. Because I think sometimes boundaries is like a vague term. Like, what does that mean? A boundary is a concept, an idea, an ideal, a requirement, a limit, like something that you set in your life that is context specific and may change at any time. So a boundary is something that you can set and say, this is what I'm available for, this is what I'm allowing, this is what I require, this is what I'm not available for, this is what I'm not okay with. And it's something that is flexible. It's something that you can change context specific. So for example, like a really easy way to conceptualize, what does it mean if it's context specific? I may be open and available for my husband to give me a surprise, loving embrace while we're in the house or when we're out in public, right? I'm okay to physically be touched and embraced by him, but I'm not okay boundary-wise to be surprised, physically embraced and touched by strange men I don't know as I'm at the grocery store, right? So that's a boundary that's context specific. If I'm at home or with my husband or with someone I know, it's okay for you to embrace me. But if I don't know you and we're out in public and I've never met you in my life, like I'm not going to be okay with you just coming up to me and hugging me from behind, right? So we get to decide, boundaries get to be this thing where we get to decide, I'm okay with this in this situation, I'm not okay with this in this situation. And we only get to really calibrate and set boundaries by getting to know ourselves really, 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 really deeply. Like you can't have boundaries without becoming very self-aware. They're married together. And I don't think that's something a lot of people recognize until they're really, really deep in the journey of boundaries. So that's where my passion for boundaries came from.
Say that very last part again.
Okay. Boundaries and the act of setting boundaries is very deeply linked with self-awareness because we cannot begin to set boundaries that work for us, that support mm-hmm. us, that mm-hmm. nurture us, unless we are deeply aware of what our needs are, our wants
right.
are, our desires are, the things that make us feel really good.
Right.
We have to know what those are to be able to curate and set up boundaries in our lives that nurture that instead of being drained by just whatever people ask of me, I will give it.
What I heard you say was really interesting in about when you were in this oppressive religious upbringing was that mm-hmm. what was supposed to feel like goodness and what was supposed to be good felt very bad. So there was like you were already going within yourself to have that awareness that you're talking about. It's like this intuition, this connection to yourself that, and
right.
So you had to be on a journey to know what is really good for you. A lot of women, it's like because they want to be good or they let their boundaries down, you know, and they can
sure.
get into a lot of trouble by not following that. Or if somebody tells you, oh, this is good, even though you're feeling it's bad. Do you know what I mean? It's like that
mm-hmm.
that red flag,
absolutely.
That intuition
yep.
in our lives, you know, where your intuition is saying not quite lining up with this, what this person is saying or with their actions and with what I'm feeling,
mm-hmm.
and I can't put
mm-hmm.
my fingers on it. And you know what? It doesn't matter who is telling you that this is the truth. You have to stay aligned with what is that awareness, what is true for you. So I loved what you just said there, is because I think we get that. People can tell us, oh, this is good, when it's not good. We don't feel it's good. And we have to stop denying that, don't you think? Like that betraying ourselves.
Absolutely. I think you bring up a really excellent point there, that one of the tenets, again, and this gets forgotten as well by people as they're setting boundaries, is exactly what you said, that when something doesn't feel right, sometimes we begin to doubt ourselves because we feel something feels off, but we can't logically explain it yet. We don't really even have the words sometimes to explain why a relationship, a business deal, a friendship, mm-hmm. some sort of interaction that you've had where something feels off. And if you begin to explain, someone say like, well, why does that sound weird? Or why does that feel weird? You're like, I just don't know. And then people will doubt it and think, well, maybe I'm overreacting, or maybe, you know, I'm just too sensitive, or maybe I, you know, misinterpreted something. And while of course we always need to be self-evaluating, when it comes to boundaries, I'm like, ooh, this doesn't feel good. In fact, something gives me that, like, I call it the ick factor. When you get that ick factor and you keep pushing it aside, that's when, like you said, people get into trouble. They get into situations that have, you know, detrimental effects or lead to a lot of, like, energy drain, frustration, sadness, despair, because they've ignored that ick factor, that feeling that told them something's
right,
up.
Right, right.
And I want every woman on earth to know, I mean, men as well, but like every person on earth to know that you do not have to have a logical explanation for why something mm. doesn't feel right. You can just say, this just doesn't feel right. I don't have the words for why or how or when or whatever, but it doesn't feel right. And you get to walk away, put space, set some sort of limit around that. And that's okay. That's absolutely okay.
I love that because, you know, I'm thinking back into some points in my life where I was on the fence about something, whether it was a job or a relationship. And what
mm-hmm.
I came to the conclusion with after, you know, going on both sides of the fence of that, like, is that if you're on the fence, the answer is no. Because
mm-hmm.
usually you're trying to push yourself into it, or you're trying to please the other person, or you're trying to somehow not let someone down, or you have to carefully look at who you are accommodating with your yes. So your yes is, you know, the most important thing you have to offer. And we have to
mm-hmm.
stop throwing that around, you know, like it's confetti. You know, it's not. It's a gift
right.
we give. So our yes has got to be a full commitment. And if you've got a no that's equal to your yes, what do you think about that, Courtney? Like if your no, like if you're sitting right on that fence, and you know, and it's like, okay, I've got 50% yes and I've got 50% no. I have just learned that there's probably an ick factor, like you're talking about. There's probably
mm-hmm.
an ick factor that is telling you, I've got to, this probably isn't the path because I'm not even, you know, more than 50% aligned with it. What do you think of that?
Well, I think that's where that self-awareness I was talking about comes in, where, like you said, if you're really on the fence, most of the time, if it's not a full body yes, or like, yes, this just, it feels right in my body. Like a lot of people will feel it like in their gut. They'll say like, oh, I just felt like it was like a yes in my belly. Or people will say, I just felt really good in my body. They just kind of get these good feelings. If you don't have that vibe, so to speak, when you're making a
mm-hmm.
decision, then you've really got two options. One is to do the scary thing of saying no, even when you can't fully explain it, you might not have a good
mm-hmm.
reason, and then come at that from a place of, it's okay that I don't know, it's okay that I don't have all the answers, I trust myself, even if I don't have all the information, and I'm okay with that, which can feel really scary. Or you choose to say yes, even though you know that something isn't sitting well with you, and you also practice compassion of, I'm saying yes to this, even though I know in some part of me I'm not okay with this, and I am prepared and willing to have compassion for myself for when this does maybe blow up in my face. I think on both sides of that, it's approaching the situation with compassion, because either way, I think it's hard for people either way. It's hard for them to say, I don't really have a great reason for why I'm saying no to this, other than something feels off. For some people, that's harder than for others. And then if you do feel like maybe I do need to move forward with this just for the lesson, sometimes we need to say yes to things that are no's just to learn. It's like that last time you do it and you go, wow, I have had this feeling 10 times before, and this is now the 10th time I've done it, and now I get it. I'm done, and that's my final lesson. So either way, I think good path going into either way, like either way you go in that situation, if you go into either direction with self-compassion and self-awareness, you'll get something out of it.
This is true. Lessons are on their way.
And absolutely.
Lord knows I've had a few going, you know, against sort of my gut. And what you're also saying is, you know, it isn't like a pat, easy answer. It's like either way is a path, either way is a journey, either way is a lesson. And I think it's important to give yourself the option of just following that gut, just like, I just am not feeling it 100%, you know, enough. You know, I think it's important because so many women sort of, you know, like just ignore all that. So I want to go back to your incredible journey, your upbringing, which is, I'm sure that you have become quite a powerhouse because of what you've had to go through. I wonder if you could tell the listeners, like, how did you, like, almost like escape? Like, because there's so many demands and judgments upon you when you're in that environment, like as you went to college, and I'm sure that was just like, there's always like people judging you, right? And like wanting you to do things differently. How did you break away from that?
Well, anyone, you know, whether you're growing up in a, you know, religious cult like I was, or you find yourself in a relationship that's not working, or a career that doesn't fit well, or, you know, whatever it is, we all have, one thing we can all relate to is being in a situation where one day we look around and go, ooh, I don't want to be here, or this is, I'm not going to survive. If I stay in this situation, it won't serve me. It won't end well. And so my process for getting out of that, and I think the process anyone else could relate to or follow in those situations, is number one, it is a process. Even if you do, like, say, for example, if you're in an abusive relationship and you leave the house that night, you don't just like suddenly you're healed because you left that situation. It's an emotional and mental process, no matter what. And so my advice and what worked really well for me, and what I recommend for women, as I've been creating a course on boundaries over the last few months, because I want to impart this knowledge to women, is that number one, just becoming aware of that ick factor that you feel and validating it first and foremost can be extremely healing and quantum leap you into the next steps you need to make or have in order to remove yourself from that situation. Because of what keeps a lot of people stuck is that chronic self-doubt, feeling the ick factor, that something isn't right, and just saying, I'm crazy, that's not right. They talk themselves out of it. Or worse is they feel so ashamed of the situation they're in or the ick factor that they don't even talk to other people about it. Like, maybe they won't go to therapy.
Yes.
Yeah, that the shame factor comes in. So very easily they could have gone to, you know, a friend or someone they trust or a therapist or, you know, even a good clergy member and say, hey, here's the situation I'm in. And that person could say, hey, that actually sounds pretty draining or dangerous. Or are you okay? Are you doing okay in that? And it's like, I began personally to know that my situation wasn't okay when professors at college that I trusted, even though my whole life, none of it felt right. And I was never on the hateful side of the fence of this cult where I was like, yeah, you know, everybody's going to hell and I'm the only one with religious supremacy. I was kind of a part of the group, but I didn't like preach that out. You know, I was still very kind to others, but I would start to share with my professors, hey, here's what I believe. And they would look at me and go, oh, Courtney, you don't really believe that, do you? And it wasn't coming from judgment. It wasn't coming from, you know, like them looking down on me. They had a genuine concern that I could see in their eyes, like, are you okay? And I went, oh, this is real. This feeling I have is real. So beginning to just validate in yourself, if something doesn't feel right, know that there's a reason why it doesn't feel right, even if you can't explain it, and begin to validate. If I feel something is off, if I feel something isn't right, there's a kernel of truth there. And I'm willing to walk into that truth and acknowledge that it's there and ask whoever you want to ask, your higher self, if you're religious, God, angels, universe, whatever it is, like ask them for the next step. Ask your higher self, what's the next step? If I were to actually look at this and validate the ick factor, validate that something doesn't feel right, that my energy feels drained all the time, that I feel frustrated, that I feel abused, that I feel whatever it is, what would be my next step if I really believed that? And things will begin to feel a little bit more clear. For me, at first, it was, I need to separate myself and get some distance from these people. So because I was an adult then at that time, I was able to spend less time around them and begin to cultivate relationships with other outside people. And I was kind of like a spy. I would like go into other friend circles and see how other people live and be like, oh, so people don't spend all their time talking about how everyone's going to hell and that everyone's crazy and that here's how we need to infiltrate the government and get them all to believe what we believe. I mean, I just was like, oh, okay, I see what's going on in the rest of the world now.
Wow. What an eye opener.
Yeah. And honestly, there was a lot of shame in it as well, because I felt like, how could I have been so blind for so many years, or how could I not have realized how wrong this was or off this was? But in my case, there was a lot of superiority built into it. You know, they would say, you're going to go to heaven, you're going to have the greatest reward, you're God's chosen people. So that is a really hard thing to walk away from. And I think that for anybody who's in a difficult situation when it comes to setting boundaries, remembering that the way out, the way through, the way over, the way around, it involves the path of compassion, grace, and love for yourself, for others, for the situation. I noticed that every time I would try to get sucked back into this cult, you know, religion, it was all about hate and punishment and shame and degrading people and making them feel less than. And I just decided I'm not available to be in relationships with people anymore, that their way for manipulating people is through shame and degrading them and making them feel less than. There is no good that will come out of that on the other side. So I just began to realize that there is no true lasting answer in this life that involves hate, and compassion and grace and forgiveness is the way through and out of this for me. And I'm going to forgive myself for all the years that I was a part of this. I'm going to forgive the people that were trying to suck me into this. And I'm going to choose something different instead. And I'm going to create boundaries around myself so that I'm not available to be in these conversations and in these circles at all anymore.
Hey, that is so beautiful, Courtney. Wow, I'm just soaking that in. And, you know, it reminds me of one of my favorite parts of The Course in Miracles, which is my grievances hide the light of the world in me. And it's so important to clear out, you know, our inner heart of these grievances that you're talking about, and to live a life with that is of and for compassion. It also reminds me of the idea that so many women want to be good, you know, the good girl, want to be good. They want to be spiritually good. They want to be spiritually worthy, that they let themselves be controlled, because it's like, well, I'm being controlled, but I get to be good because I'm doing what God wants me to do. And it is like the biggest mind trip that anyone will play on you, because, you know, like you we're talking about, is like, there's something not congruent here. You know, if wanting to be good means you have to be controlled, then it's time to reevaluate, because they don't go together. You don't have to be controlled in order to be worthy, to be, you know, you don't have to follow like this a laundry list of what you have to do to be worthy. And I've
absolutely
been a spiritual seeker my whole life. I've really been completely devoted to it. I moved to California for, you know, 20 years, and so every spiritual teacher. And what I discovered in that whole journey, that whole odyssey that I went on, was, newsflash, you're already spiritual. Okay,
right.
Because
right,
you're a spiritual being having a human experience, so you cannot get more spiritual. We are already spiritual,
mm-hmm,
and we already
absolutely
have innate goodness, and it's just cultivating that innate goodness, and it's not something we have to jump through somebody's hoops to get, or be controlled
absolutely
in order to, you know, and purge out all the evil out of us, and, you know, be told that we're a sinner in order to find that goodness. We've got to have that sense within us. And see, what happened to me on my journey, my spiritual odyssey, was that I realized that the light is completely already in me. I don't have to look for it anymore. And how did that work for you, like in terms of your spirituality? How did you come to know, like, you are already spiritual, you know, your spirituality, where is it now?
Well, I completely agree with what you're saying, that when we're seeking spirituality or we're seeking connection with, you know, a higher power or something that makes us feel whole and complete, it is already in us, right? It is already part of us. We just have to look and acknowledge it. When I began to separate myself from this religion, much like anybody who is a part of any dynamic that is not healthy, again, like whether you're leaving a bad relationship or a bad career, a religion that doesn't fit anymore, when you look back, there's usually always things in that situation that were working for you. You know, maybe you liked certain elements of it, or there were some people you liked, or if it's a relationship, the sex was good. You know, it's like there's something that usually is serving people in every situation, or if it's a job they were trying to leave, the pay was good, right? So they put up with being treated like crap. So there's usually something that was working for you. And so I had to look at, for me, other than being for many years just a child and not able to make autonomous choices until I became a teenager and stuff, there were elements of religion that did work for me. Like, for example, I loved praying for people or praying with people. And to this day, I don't consider myself religious at all whatsoever. I do not attend like a weekly church or anything. But like if somebody says, hey, I'm hurting, or hey, I'm struggling, I have no problem saying, would you like me to pray for you? Because I realize that all prayer really is, on an energetic level, is like engaging in a form of, number one, manifesting a desired outcome for somebody, and number two, lifting them up by allowing them to hear the good intentions and the good energy that you would like to speak into their life. So for one, I began to like pick apart, I love prayer and I love communion with a higher power. I don't love the other 10 things that go along with, you know, prayer or the other things they told me that I have to do, but I'm okay with this. And so I began to like look at all the things that did feel good. So unconditional love, it was something that I read about like in the Bible, not what I heard in the sermons I went to, but I was like, oh, they talk about like love and forgiveness. So like I took that with me and I took prayer with me, and I just allowed my body, I don't know that I've ever articulated this way, but like I allowed my body to sift through some of the questions that I had around spirituality, and it would kind of like light up or ding, like when something felt right, like I would say like, oh, it still feels good to ask a higher power for advice or for help when I'm stuck. It still feels good to, even though I'm not, like they used to teach us, you have to go and do like missionary work and it's all about mission work. And even though I don't feel like I have to go and do missionary work now to convert people of the world, I do feel it's very important to be charitable and contribute. And, you know, my dream would be to have millions and millions and millions upon dollars to help with pouring money into philanthropy, you know, for people in need in other countries and people here in the United States. So when you ask me, how has my own journey with my spirituality changed? I just allowed myself to begin to trust the things that did feel good about that situation and know that I didn't have to demonize all of it. I didn't have to make it all bad. but I also didn't have to take any parts with me that didn't feel aligned anymore. And I also didn't have to believe things that didn't feel true to me. Like, oh, if you don't take all of it, they used to tell us a lot, you either take all of it and you do all of it, or you're not doing any of it right. If you pick and choose, you're for sure going to hell. And I mean, of course, that was like super scary for me. So for a long time, I had that fear of, what if I don't do it all? And what if I'm leaving this stuff out? Then what will happen? But at the end of the day, it came down to, you know what? If there really is a God up there in the sky that is this unloving, like that I'm living with every single day, I don't want to go to heaven. Like that can't be a heaven that I want. That sounds like hell to me. So I choose to believe that if there is a God, he is up there being loving and compassionate and wanting to see you succeed, wanting to see you thrive, wanting to see you prosper, wanting to see you have quality relationships. And I refuse to believe that sacrifice and suffering is required for sovereignty. I believe that there may be challenges on the road there. I believe that there may be difficult times, but I don't believe you need to live in a state of suffering and self-sacrifice and ignoring that inner voice you have just to get, like, that doesn't make sense to me. You know, as a guideline for really following what feels true for me, that's what I ended up doing.
Yeah, I can feel the power of that journey is incredible. And I know that you're going to heal and help a lot of people sharing it. I'm going to ask you another question. It's easy to create that boundary. Maybe, you know, think, okay, this isn't right for me. But all of a sudden, that person keeps trying to cross that boundary. And then you've got to, like, police that person and maintain that boundary. And it's like, oh, that can be kind of brutal. Do you have any stories about that? Or what do you feel about how can we empower women to maintain their boundary without feeling like it's a negative thing? Like, how can we flip that switch? What do you think?
It's a really good question. And I was having two answers converge in my mind as you were asking. I'm sorting them out. Okay. Okay, two parts to this answer for you. Number one is the element of we do not have to people please, and we do not have to make people happy in order to be a loving human who contributes to the lives of others. I think there is a falsehood that we as humanity, and also specifically women who we love to be nurturers, we believe this falsehood that in order to be a loving person in relationship, we have to make people happy. We have to be there to fill the gaps and fill the need and make sure that everybody's taken care of. And if not, it somehow reflects poorly on us, which when you think about it, it makes no sense that if people aren't like happy with you or approving of you or saying good things of you or, you know, saying, oh, this happened because of Courtney or because of Joy. It's like, number one, we can't control anybody's response to anything. We could put in all this hard work and people could say, you do nothing for me, right? Like, you just can't control
yes.
whether people are going to be appreciative, number one. So it's like there's this falsehood that we believe that in order to even be a good human, it has to involve making people happy. Whereas what I would propose to you is that instead of that, what if it was our willingness to be vulnerable and to state where we're at, what we need, what we're available for, and contribute to people in an honest and authentic way? Like, hey, I'd love to help you with whatever this request is you're asking of me. I'm not available to do that right now. My next month is pretty slammed and my plate is full, but why don't you ask me again in a month? Or, hey, you know, that does sound like a true need and I would love to help with that. I'm just not the right person to help you at this time. Like, just us speaking up about, I don't have time for that, I don't have availability for that, it actually allows us to be seen for who we are and where we're at. And it allows us it to be a mutual reciprocal relationship where not only do we get to give when we're available to give, but we also get to receive because people know how we're doing. The biggest thing I see in women that causes resentment is they're not in an even keel place. They're stressed mentally, emotionally, financially, time-wise, whatever it is, and someone makes a request of them or someone is pushing a boundary. They're saying yes because, oh, they want to people please, they want to make people happy, and they're doing it the whole time from a state of resentment. I don't want anybody doing anything for me from a state of resentment because that's not a genuine relationship. That's me, like, asking someone to do something and then I feel like a creepy ick factor if someone is like bringing me groceries because I'm sick in bed, but they're resenting me the whole time. I'd rather call the grocery delivery service and have a stranger bring me groceries than have my best friend cursing me the whole way over to my house, right? Like, I want there to be a good, pure, energetic connection between me and the people in my life. So I would say that, number one, when we're setting these boundaries and we're thinking we need to people please, I think it's more important to meet those situations from a place of honesty and authenticity so that that energy exchange can be clean, so that we're not taking on anything extra that would cause us to go into resentment, that it gives people the gift of knowing where you're at so that they can appropriately respond to you instead of not knowing where you're at that day.
And it really goes back to awareness, you know. So we almost have to say, stop for just a minute. Let me get back to you.
Right. And Joy, that may require for some women, because it can feel so uncomfortable at first. It may feel like you have to actually put some stops into your life to allow the space to do that. So for example, a few years ago, I stopped having my phone on ring. Like, my phone's on silent 24/7. That way, I'm never caught off guard by a phone call and feeling the need to respond immediately to a need. People will text to me. People will call me. They'll leave me a message. And I'll check my phone periodically throughout the day as I have the energy to reply. And that way, I'm never like, Courtney, I need you to go run this errand. I like to think of that phrase, a lack of planning on your part is not an emergency on my part. Like, I'm here to help you, but also, like, I'm not going to allow everybody else's emergencies to just disrupt my life, unless it's a true emergency, right? Life or death, it's my family, I'll be there. And the other thing I've done is I have a paper scheduler that if someone asks me out and about, like, hey, Courtney, do you want to get together next week or can you do X, Y, Z? I have to say, I'd love to. Let me go home and check my calendar and I'll let you know. It allows me to really take the space I need to feel into. How much time do I really have? How much space do I have? You know, when I'm setting boundaries just in a very practical way, day to day, week to week, using my time, it allows me to have the space to make wise decisions for myself. And so for women that are brand new to boundaries and setting boundaries with their families, their church, their job, whatever, I encourage them to begin to question the things that they think they absolutely have to do, whether it's obsessively checking their email, obsessively and quickly replying to all text messages, saying yes immediately to people. Like, just begin to start questioning the things that you feel like you have to do, otherwise your whole world will fall apart, because most of the time there's some wiggle room in there. And even some of the times, if we begin to dismantle those things that we think we have to do or else our life will fall apart, that's actually where we create the most freedom. And we realize, oh my gosh, there's a whole other world here that I didn't know was here. And I can't believe I saw it any other way. And I can't believe I've been living in this box for so long. And now I feel so liberated. And anybody can create that by beginning to question the structures that they think are, you know, the do or die. Otherwise people will hate me or my life will fall apart. I mean, it's just not true.
Right. Well, you had all kinds of good gems in there, Courtney. And, you know, what I heard you also say in there was that we need a buffer, like give yourself a buffer before you just, yes, I'll do whatever you need me to do, or, you know, before you agree to something, you go home and you check your calendar.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Saying to yourself, like, I deserve the space to make this decision. I'm not going to make this decision on your time. I'm going to make it on my time.
I love it. So you don't feel pressured in the moment to, like, oh, yes, sure, whatever you need. Yeah, of course. You know,
right.
Yeah, right. Just give yourself that buffer. So part of this whole boundary thing is essentially saying no if or yes, you know, as you wish. And it's extremely empowering. You cannot be a woman of agency, and you really can't be an empowered woman if you aren't saying yes when you want to say yes and no when you want to say no. You know, it's back to your point of awareness, self-awareness, what is true for me, checking in with yourself, being true to yourself, realizing that you're still a loving person if you say yes or no. It doesn't have anything to do with your yes or no, right? And giving yourself that buffer, that time to check in with yourself. All of that is just will literally open up that space you're talking about, that great big space where you find yourself. What is it I really need? What is it I really feel? What is it I really want to do? Do I really want to do this? What if I just don't have any excuse at all? I just don't want to do this. Can I say no? I mean, these are points of self-mastery. And you cannot be empowered unless if you're just letting people pull you around and do everything you don't want to do, or you're not doing the things you want to do.
Right. And there's one last thing that I would add, if it's okay with
yes.
you.
Yes.
Is in all of this, when we want to people please, when we want to say yes, we think that by doing something to make people happy, we're somehow succeeding in life or that that's an accomplishment. But a lot of the times there is this element of when we say yes to something that has an ick factor, not only are we not validating how we feel, but there is a kernel of like manipulation that we're participating in where we're trying to manipulate someone's opinion of us by giving them the answer that we think they want, participating in relationships in a way where we're trying to control every aspect of an outcome instead of giving someone the gift of saying, here's where I'm at. This answer might disappoint you. It might not be the answer you want. But I'm going to give you the gift of, number one, my honesty, and number two, believing that you can figure this out on your own, and I believe in you enough to do that. And that is the opposite of manipulation. That is the gift of, I believe in you, I have faith in you, I'm willing to be vulnerable in front of you, whereas saying yes when it's really a no, like I said, not only does that not validate your own experience, but it participates in trying to manipulate an outcome of like, then they're going to like me. And my experience is we want to stay out of any dynamics with people where we're trying to manipulate people into thinking something about us or feeling a certain way about us, because we're not going to get the love and approval that we seek if we're getting it through a form of manipulation. We have to allow people to love us of their own free will and love us where we're at, even if it's imperfect.
Love that. Yeah, so true. The good girl loves to manipulate people to think that she's a good girl, right? Of course. So,
right.
She's a master at that. I'm going to say one last thing. We'll just talk about this, and then we'll close our talk.
Great.
Sometimes people don't like it when you create a boundary.
Mm-hmm.
When you say no, or when you say this isn't right for me, and you're all in your presence and your power and your authority, you know, they don't like mm-hmm. it, you know, and they're going to, you know, they don't always respond nicely to your saying no or not accommodating their needs. I mean, it's not always just like, oh, tiptoe through the tulips when we say no, you know, it's, you know what I mean? It's,
right.
We're not going over this, you know, glitter bridge once we say no. You're going to deal with the response from someone else that may not like what you're saying or may try and shame mm-hmm. you back into being compliant mm-hmm. and not standing in your authority and your power and your truth, you know, and then we can cave and hopefully not. But, you know, there is that whole dynamic, and I just don't want to leave the listeners with, you know, there is a journey after you say no. I mean, but we do have to get up to that point, right? We do have to get to the point where we're just, in other words, what I always say is, you know, we have to say our truth and let the chips fall. We can't control
yeah.
those chips, you know, once we throw it out there. That's an uncontrollable thing. And, you know, the good
right.
girl doesn't like conflict. So, you know, that's another reason why she doesn't like to do this, because there is going to be some sort of conversation from the other person. What would you say to
Absolutely.
That, Courtney, about managing that end of it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is, I mean, I completely understand what you're asking and where you're coming from, and I really appreciate that you're posing this question, because you're right. It's not just like, here's my boundary, and people are like, thank you for having healthy boundaries. Let us in. You don't get a round of applause. A lot of times you get a dirty look or a scoff or someone's feelings
oh.
are hurt and,
oh, yeah.
and all of that, right? Like, or... Yeah, absolutely. So there's two ways to approach this. And the first way is the traditional route that, like, if you read any book on boundaries, a lot of these books, they reference if you're in a dangerous situation, like, you know, someone who's abusing you, hitting you, you know, something like that, then there is a definite, like, line in the sand where it's like, here's my boundary. If you hit me again, I'm out. Or if you swear at me or yell at me again, I'm out. And, you know, they talk about setting boundaries in that way. So I would say, for those dangerous situations, you literally just have to leave. You have to remove yourself. You have to find support. You have to connect with a women's shelter, a therapist, or whatever you need to do to get out. But that's not where the majority of people who are learning and implementing boundaries are at usually. That's usually a smaller
right.
percentage. In my work as a therapist, there's always going to be people in those, you know, severe abuse situations. But the vast majority of clients coming to therapy are people just trying to navigate, you know, their in-laws or their job
yes.
or, you know, their relationship. And so
yes.
what do you do in those situations? And here's my best nugget of wisdom for that is
okay.
that these are the people that, especially if you're related to them, so like if you're family or you've married into a family or they're, you know, a part of you in a way, like you're business partners with them, and you're not going to just like set a boundary and then walk away and who cares what they say. Like you have to continue to function with them in some way. Then it's important that as you set a boundary, you explain your emotional need behind it. You say, here's the boundary that I have because when I don't do this, I feel X, Y, Z. So I feel drained. I feel resentful. I'm not able to be as good of a mother. I'm not able to be as good of a partner. I'm not able to fulfill my duty as much. It's something that really takes a toll on me, and I'm unavailable to continue participating in something that's taking a toll on my mental and emotional health. And so here is my boundary. And you let people in a little bit so they know where you're coming from, because if you continue to have to function with these people, while they may not love your boundary, if you explain to them the reasoning behind it, they can typically say, well, I could see how, if you're really feeling that way, why this is something you would say. But it helps sometimes to give people a background of why this is important to you, so that they can at least, they can either ally with you and say, wow, I get it. I have no idea. So at least they know the real reason behind it, and they're not taking it personally, thinking that you're just pulling away your support or your time or your energy because you don't love them or something. And sometimes people will still interpret it that way, right? Like sometimes that's just where people are at and they take things very personally. But remember, your job is on your side of the fence. You can only control your thoughts, feelings, behaviors, what you're saying to other people. You can't control how they receive it. If you're trying to control how they receive it, then you're no better than just people pleasing and complying with what they want in the first place. So it's important to say what you need to say and release it and let it be that.
You know, I love what you're saying, because I sort of was at the philosophy, like, I'm just telling my truth and, you know, you're going to have to deal with it on your end. But I love what you said, because it's so true. It's like you just throw them a bone of some kind so they're not taking it personally, and they're not, like, gives them something else to chew on, and they can maybe see your, I don't like to get into explaining, and because it sounds like excuses, you know what I mean? But I love
right.
what you're saying. Just give them enough so that they're not taking it personally. Like, it's not about you. This is just totally what I need to do because this works for me. You know, you want to keep that dynamic as healthy as possible without, you know, betraying yourself or overgiving or, you know, all the things we're talking about. So this conversation is golden for our good girls out there. You have a course coming out in boundaries, and can they find that at CourtneyCope.com?
Absolutely. So my course is called When I Upgrade My Boundaries, I Upgrade My Life. And they can find information about that course at CourtneyCope.com. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram as The Courtney Cope, and Coping Like a Boss is my handle on Instagram. I feel like that's very appropriate, Coping Like a Boss.
Well, we'll include all of that in the show notes. So glad that we did this. And you know what? Maybe we'll do another one, because this is like one of those endless topics, you know.
Anyone listening to this, just know that boundaries is not something that you like set once, you've done it, you move on. Now it's like, let's move on to something else in our life. Boundaries is a fluid concept that for the rest of your life, you're going to be recalibrating, resetting, reassessing. And that's, like you said, that's the juicy part of it. So just remember to listen to that ick factor feeling, validate yourself, be willing to go there and have those difficult conversations, even if you can't explain why you feel a certain way. And enjoy the lifelong journey. You don't have to do it perfectly. It's okay if it's a little messy at first, but better to be honest and be seen for who you are than loved for a version of yourself that isn't really true or authentic. It's just a version you're putting out there because you hope people will like it.
Thank you, Courtney. You have really shared your good girl, the goddess story.
So I really appreciated being on here, and I'm so excited for your mission in the world.
Thank you, Courtney. Until next time.